Definitely good to see so many out this morning. As I always say, if you're visiting with us, we're just so glad you decided to be with us. But we attempt to do Bible things in Bible ways. So God has blessed us to be able to be here again today. You know, I always like to say we don't have to be here. You know, there were folks who woke up this time last week that are not here today. And when I'm thinking about it, Sister Sharon asked me to mention a neighbor of hers who died recently, Sister. His name was Kirk Dunston. So he passed away Friday morning at about 2 o'clock. So continue to keep the Dunston family in your prayers as well. There's so many other ones who are in need of prayer as well as we live on this side of living. We know that death does sting, but my Bible and yours says that's the last thing that Christ will conquer. He will conquer, rather, and that is the sting of death. Turn with me to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. We're going to begin at verse number 40 and read down through verse number 46. Luke chapter 2, verses 40 through 46. And while we're getting there, you know, one of the things about me is I'll lose something in a heartbeat. I don't do a good job of keeping up with stuff. Sometimes this stuff, and my poor lovely wife, she just catches the brunt of it because she allows me to blame everything on her. So, keys, phone, I lose some. Matter of fact, this morning, I ain't even told her this. I woke up this morning, was looking for my glasses, and I got 2 pair of glasses, right? And then realized that I was finding one, the other glasses already on top of my head. That's how bad I am at finding stuff or losing stuff. And it happens sometimes. They say the older you get, the more you forget and all those things, but I ain't got no excuse for that. I guess it's just me. I guess I didn't get in the line of remembering stuff, so I have to put things in place to have to remember. I got to have my stuff usually in one area, one corner. If not, then I'm a mess. And oftentimes I leave home and I'm sure I got something, but get about halfway to work or wherever I'm going and realize I forgot. Maybe you don't have that problem, but as I like to say, just keep living, don't do anything special. But I've always had that issue. I'm scatterbrained, so to speak. I'm one of those extremely right-brained people, you know, the folks who just think in concepts. And there's some left-brained folks who are good with detail. That ain't me. God made me this way, and I guess I just operate that way, but I think big picture. So when you think big picture stuff, you lose a lot of details in the middle. So that's just me, but kind of ties into my story today because we're going to look at some things about situation with Mary, Joseph, and Jesus. Luke chapter 2, verse 40 reads as such. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintances. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. Subject title, Have You Left the Christ? Have you left the Christ? This is a lesson in my notes right here. I preached way back in September of 2010. But I pull it out every now and then to kind of remind me of some stuff that I've been guilty of in the past, and maybe you have as well. Have you ever been going along in life and just on automatic mode and you realize and you check yourself out spiritually and you realize that maybe Jesus hadn't been with you? Maybe you hadn't been traveling with Jesus all along? Maybe you thought, just assumed that Christ was with you, but you left him back down the road somewhere. Maybe in your busy days, maybe in all of your myriad of responsibilities, maybe in your troubles, maybe in your trials and tribulations, maybe we've never realized that maybe we left Jesus off a long time ago. Notice I said that we've left Christ. Now, Christ says in Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20, in verse 20, it says, I will never leave nor forsake you. But it does not mean that we can't leave him. He hadn't gone anywhere. Just like this example we're going to look at today, but just imagine that now. Now, I know from time to time we hear about terrible stories on the news, and especially this time of the year in the heat of summer, of a parent getting out of their car, just forgetting that the child was in there, maybe going to work or maybe sometime intentionally doing it, not realizing how hot it was. Maybe they just were intending to run in the store for 5 or 10 minutes. And they come back and the child is lifeless. Now, it was beyond me to understand and maybe comprehend how somebody could do that to a child. But as I got older, and as I began to know myself a little bit more, I can see how it happened. And more so in a spiritual sense. Many folks today think that Jesus is among the company, but they left him a long time ago. Many folks today are doing things, even in the name of Christ, but he's nowhere to be found. Many folks go into every day of their life believing that Christ is with them, but they don't realize they've left Jesus a long time ago. Can you imagine? Mary and Joseph had come to worship and fulfill their days of the Passover. And it was customary that all Jews returned to Jerusalem during this time period. They were faithful Jews. They were faithful Israelites, as well as many others who were basically residing in the area they lived because they traveled in companies and packs like that. Many today are very faithful doing religious things, but Christ left them a long time ago. Or they left Christ a long time ago. You may say, well, how in the world does that happen? I'm very religious. I do this. I'm here every Sunday. I do these things. I go through worship. And you never realize that you left Christ? You never realize that he wasn't with you because your mind wasn't right? You never realize that he wasn't with you because your spirit wasn't right? You never realize it because you never brought Christ into the building with you? He was never the object of your worship? Have you ever realized that at that point in time we leave the Christ? But it happens to us all occasionally. And as I like to say, maybe doesn't Satan attack you this way, but he attacks me this way. Sometimes he puts so many good things in your life that you leave out the best thing. Sometimes that happens. Satan's been wearing me out. He's wearing me out with that. I'm working on it. I'm trying to close that gap in my life, but I've noticed that that's how he attacks me, and maybe you as well. You see the bad stuff coming a long way away. You see that. You can see. You can smell that coming. But sometimes we leave Christ behind. Sometimes, even in our best efforts, we've left Christ, and there's a distance between us. It happens to us occasionally. Sometimes kids or things like this in the school system, every now and then, maybe about once a year, when I was over buses at my responsibilities, books and buses, that's what APs did many times, the co-principals in my situations with that. There's sometimes, especially in elementary school, there's sometimes a kid left on the bus who's falling asleep. Maybe the bus driver didn't get up and do the rounds, because bus driving, you're supposed to get up, check all the seats. Don't just assume everybody's off. Check all the seats, even check under the seats. Well, every now and then a bus driver is like, nobody's on this bus. Parent called the school about 4:35 o'clock saying, where's my child? You say, what do you mean, where's your child? Well, didn't get up at the bus stop. The first thing you want to do, go check with the bus driver. And sometimes they're not always truthful because they got cameras on the bus. Well, I got up and I checked all the seats. Well, no, you didn't. The child's back there, thank goodness, safe and sound. But somebody forgot to check. Somebody forgot to do their duty and make sure that every child was off that bus. It happens to all of us. And it's a very scary feeling for the person who's responsible for them, and also for the parent who was missing a child who didn't get off. Being lost at any time is no fun. Now, we're talking about Mary and Joseph here, but Christ was still a child. And we know at this point in time he was growing up to be the Messiah, but can you imagine what he felt like? When he called out for mom and daddy and he looked around and nobody was there? Have you ever seen a lost child in a store and how traumatic it is for them? But maybe they went over here looking at toys and their parents disappeared and they can't find them. Next thing you know, somebody gets on the intercom and saying, if you're the parent of such and such child, your child is at, you know, customer service or whatever, please come to customer service. And I've seen a situation where that mother, that father comes running to the child with tears in their eyes because they thought they lost them. They're so glad they found their child. I wonder, do we feel the same way about Christ when we left Christ? Do we come running to him? Do we realize that he's not been with us and we turn around? Most times in life, folks just keep right on going. They just assume that Christ is with them. Well, Mary and Joseph did the same thing. How in the world could this happen to good folks like Mary and Joseph? And these are not folks out there just living a worldly life. Here is the mother. Here is the virgin mother of Jesus now. Here is the one who was a miraculous birth to it. Here is the one that God chose to be the mother of the promised Messiah, and yet still she forgot. So don't beat yourself up too bad. If it happens to her, it can happen to anybody. Many become weighed down with too many responsibilities. Now, can you imagine Mary here? She had other children now. And maybe Christ was the quiet one who didn't bother anybody, took care of himself, didn't do anything. He was always the quote-unquote responsible one. But then you have that child that you got to keep a thumb on at all times. It's almost like you got to put them on a leash sometimes. They all everywhere. They don't know where they're going. They come and they grab all your attention. And usually the one that's more mature, and sometimes it's the oldest child, not always. Those are the ones who get responsibility looking out for everybody else. Sometimes they get forgot about. They get taken for granted sometimes. And I think sometimes we take Jesus for granted. We just assume that he's going to put up with everything we do. We just assume that he's going to turn the other way when we're sinning and we know it. We just assume that he's going to be with us every step of the way and we're not willing to obey and humble ourselves and obey him. Many folks today have left to Christ. Many folks today are like Mary and Joseph. They may be religious, but they left to Christ a long time ago. They may have worship, but they left Jesus out. They may have went to work today, but Jesus stayed home in the book. They may be out with friends, but see, Jesus can't go and do what we're doing with my friends. How many times during an individual examination of yourself have you left Christ? How many times has that happened? When I think about myself, it brings me to shame. Because I know I've left Jesus a whole lot of times. It ain't been fun. I know I assumed he was with me because I was a Christian and obeyed that form of doctrine. I knew that I thought he was with me at all points in time. But when I look back honestly, I left Jesus too. What about you? You may say, not me. Be careful about that because we're going to talk about ways that we leave him. Mary and Joseph were together with Christ in Jerusalem. They took him up to worship with him. What great parents. They didn't leave him behind. They took him with them. Reminds us of the fact that the apostles and early Christians were together with Christ in Jerusalem as well. Jerusalem is where the gospel originated. Now, how many folks in the religious world left Christ in Jerusalem? Maybe the organization started somewhere else. Maybe it was Rome, Italy. Maybe it was Central City, USA. Maybe it was Salt Lake City. But they left Jesus a long time ago. Because see, Jesus is coming out of Jerusalem. The gospel originates in Jerusalem. A whole lot of wonderful things have come out of Jerusalem. But many have left Christ right there in Jerusalem. Many men have since left Jerusalem. Mary and Joseph departed Jerusalem, and in doing so, they left the Christ. The same is true today. When you have the original gospel and the original church, and when you have left these, you no longer have Christ. You no longer have Christ. And I know what some folks say, I'm just as good over here as that. But when you leave the Lord's church, understand this, you have left the Christ. Because Christ has one body, one Lord, one faith. When we leave Christ ahead, we also leave the body, and when we do so, we leave Jesus. Many folks today are saying, you know what? I'm all right. I can stay at home and read my Bible. But your Bible and mine says not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. We leave Christ when we leave the body gathering together. The Lord and his apostles told us this would happen. Jesus talked about the narrow way in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 through 14. Paul even mentions it in Acts 20, verses 28 through 30, when he says, after my departing, grievous wolves have come in among you, and I'm paraphrasing it, and destroy the flock. Somebody left the Christ. Somebody left him where he said he'd be. Somebody took him, but didn't bring him back with him. Somebody started off on the journey being a Christian, but somehow along the way, they left the Christ. They told us that leadership would be corrupted in Acts chapter 20, verse 28 through 30, and leave the Christ as well. They told us that many will leave the organization of the Lord's church. They began to talk about things like one bishop over a city. They began to set up organizations and organize themselves that are foreign to God's word. They began to do many things, and by doing so, they left the Christ. In the middle of the second century, there were 46 provincial church councils. By the middle of the second century, there were human creeds popping up everywhere. By the middle of the third century, there were numerous officers that were not authorized by the word of God. In the end of the third century, the church would be engulfed in the observance of pagan holidays, rituals, and etc. Somebody left the Christ. Somebody today has said, it's not good just keeping worship as simple as it is. We got to jazz it up a little bit. We need a band. We need to make it feel like a concert to make people happy and do all these other things and do all these miraculous shows and just entertain people. Somebody has left the Christ. Christ is still right there in Jerusalem. Still embodied in the apostles' doctrine. Many folks have left the Christ today. Leaving the Lord from AD 100 to 1500, the doctrine was changed in many ways by accepting things like penance, Latin Mass, purgatory, the Pope, transubstantiation, celibacy, indulgence, and sprinkling and pouring to baptize. Somebody left the Christ. Mary and Joseph, at least they realized they left the Christ. But it took them a whole day. Now, normally, a day's journey back then was about 6 miles if you're moving at a decent pace. About 6 miles. They went a whole 6 miles and realized they was without their son. How in the world could that happen? With the noise of the crowd, they just assumed he was there. You know how you sometimes get in a situation and your mind's just distracted and you thought you saw somebody, heard somebody's voice, but they were never there. You ever been that way and say, well, I know I saw you at the store last week, but no, I wasn't there. But I saw your car. Well, you ain't the only one drive a black car or that model. Well, I thought you looked, so look, it looked like you was going in the store. I could have sworn that was you. You were nowhere to be found. People are doing that today with Christ. They left the Lord. Then they made every effort to find him. The moment they realized he was not in the company. Let's see what it says in verses 44 and 45. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, they just assumed. Do we assume Jesus is with us today? Many folks do. They just assume they're okay. You know what? I'm all right. You all right? And everybody's all right? I don't need Christ. Matter of fact, God loves everybody, right? But they've left the Christ. This is what happened back then. Notice what it said. They assumed he had been in the company, went a day's journey, and then sought him among their kinfolks and acquaintances. Now, what is that saying right here? They had given the responsibility to somebody else. Well, Aunt Susie, last time I saw him, you was back there holding his hand, and little Johnny, my nephew over here, wasn't y'all playing with a ball back there in the back? Ain't it your fault? No, sir, no, ma'am. It was Mary and Joseph's fault. They were the parents. Well, you know what? I just assumed that he was back there with them. How many folks say that today? Well, you know what? I left the church because of such and such. They weren't acting right. Somebody made me mad. Somebody talked about me. Somebody laughed at me. And they leave the church and don't realize they left Christ. Well, I ain't ever doing this. Well, they don't do this. Well, they don't do this. They don't have instruments and music. They left the Christ. People doing it each and every day of their lives. Verse 5 says this, 45 says this, and when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. Now, I'm pretty sure, as popular as Mary and Joseph was, maybe in that group, they could have sent somebody else back. Yeah. They could have sent the cousin that he's supposed to be playing ball with. They could have sent Aunt Susie back because she was last holding his hand. But at least you see they took personal responsibility. That's called repentance. That's called repentance. Most folks are too proud to repent and say, God, I was wrong. I left you a long time ago. Why? He knows it and you know it. If you're outside the graces of God and have not obeyed that form of doctrine which is able to save your soul, let me say this again, Christ is not with you. I wish I could tell you otherwise, but I'd be telling you something Scripture doesn't tell you. Because Galatians 3:7 says this, for as many as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. What is that saying, using a little deductive reasoning? If you've not been baptized into Christ, how in the world can you put on Christ? You may do some Christ-like things. You may speak Christ language. You may even attend Christ's church, but understand this, Christ is not with you. Not because I said it, because the Bible says it. Why didn't they notice that he was gone? They found their way back. They took back. It was a personal responsibility of theirs. They may have left. And we see this example here. They may have left all the other children. We know that he had at least four brothers and some sisters. They may have left all of them. I don't get the picture where they went back. They went on. They were safe. They were accounted for. Ain't that like Christ himself when he says he'll leave the 99 for one who's missing? Is that our attitude? Or are we not concerned about the one? See, if we're not concerned about the one, then you got to question whether you've left the Christ as well. If we're satisfied, if one person left the gospel and not reaching out to him and saying good riddance to him, then maybe you left the Christ already too. Not my fault, not my responsibility. Wrong answer. We're members one of another. When's the last time you made a decision to reach out to somebody who you know straight away, personally? When's the last time you or me have picked up the phone and called somebody that you hadn't heard or seen from in a while? See, it ain't about us. Mary and Joseph did this. So why didn't they notice? First of all, they were too caught up in the frenzy of family and friends. And there's nothing wrong with family and friends, and I understand those things. They're great, and God blesses us with them. But don't leave Christ. Don't leave Christ and put your family and friends in his place because you left the Christ. Sometimes friends and family can be our worst enemies in a spiritual sense. We must love God more than mother, father, child, brother, or sister if we ever want to make heaven our home. And if one of these people are before Christ in your life, then I'm here to tell you this morning, you have left the Christ. They didn't even notice he was missing because of all the familiar voices around him. Now, if he had a brother that looked just like him, maybe that sounded just like him, they just assumed he was there. They knew he was in the midst because, you know, them boys are always together. They're like peas in a pod. Surely Christ is with them. I don't have to see him. I don't have to lay eyes. I don't have to check on Jesus because, you know, he's always with so-and-so. Gets lost sometime in the mix of things that are not necessarily, I told you, that's how he attacks me, they're not necessarily bad. Why else did they not notice? They didn't stop. To count them among them. We ought to examine ourselves constantly to see whether we're in the faith. Are you examining yourself to see where you stand in God's relationship? And it's a personal thing. It ain't a group thing. It is personal. The group to make it to heaven, and you might miss because you never took time to examine yourself to see whether you're in the faith. Mary and Joseph felt guilty of that. They got so busy with going home. Think about this now. And all they was doing was going home from worship that they left Jesus. You know how sometimes when you get tired and your energy runs low and the first thing you neglect is Jesus? Mm-hmm. Sometimes when you don't feel like you thought you should or you felt like you did yesterday, notice who the first person you leave out is. Jesus. You left the Christ. Many are more concerned with just going through the rituals of serving and worshiping him, but they left Christ a long time ago. They, like the Pharisees, left out the weightier matters of the law, love, grace, and mercy. The reality is, we can't afford to leave Jesus at any time. We can't afford to do it. We must follow him in obedience and passion. Christ is just concerned about the condition of our hearts, as he is with our outward obedience. Now, some people will keep every law every jot to the law, but their heart is just as raggedy and wretched and evil as anybody's. And somehow, some way, we think we got Jesus because we do everything he says in worship on the first day of the week. Somehow we think we got Jesus when we give us a right to hate and look down on others who may be trapped in sin. Somehow we think we got Christ if all we're doing is pointing out the speck in somebody else's eye and we got a beam in our own eye. Brothers and sisters, we left to Christ. Can't afford it. Many want to take Christ, but without his body and his church, it's impossible to do so. Many folks today believe they're going to heaven. I don't need Jesus to go to heaven. I don't need anything about the church. Church means nothing today, but that's his body. We need to be a part of it. Let's not fool ourselves. Christ is coming back for his church, his body, without spot or wrinkle. And only those who kept the faith to the end, according to Scripture, are going to hear, well done, that good and faithful servant. Not the best neighbor, not the best family member, not the best cook, not the best friend. Those are the ones that Christ is coming back for. What about you? And if you've left him, stop right now, turn around, and go back and get him. Because guess what? He ain't coming to get you. He's there. He's God. Why does he do that? He died enough. He came all the way from heaven for you. So you think he's going to chase you down? That's not the God that we serve. He's here with open arms. He's almost like the father in the prodigal son. This man was ever looking for his son, but you don't read whatever he went out there in the world of sin to get him. He died for him, and when he saw him turn, he was there waiting with open arms. What about us today? You got to find your way back. And if you've never had the Christ, stop now, because where you're going is destruction. Your sins at stake. Your soul's at stake. Don't keep going down this world without Christ. Because sooner or later, it's going to end. We talked about it in class today. How fast can your life end? In the blink of an eye. You never know where you or me or anybody else is going to drop dead just like that. The healthiest person, it happens to all of us. I've seen people run miles and marathons, die of a massive heart attack, or they call a widow maker, right quick, like. Maybe the person who's worked out at the wild, been working out 4 or 5 hours a day, somebody crosses the line and hits them, and they die instantly. We play too much with life. We can't afford to be without him at any time. Now it is time to get back to him. The best way to find anything is to retrace your steps and figure out exactly where you left. Using my example. When I lose my keys or my phone, I go back in my mind and trace every place I went. And usually it's the first place, because that's the first place I checked, but I've already looked the first place, because the first place I surely wouldn't have left it there. Because I remember picking it up right there. Well, maybe that's where you left it, where you thought you picked it up at. I'm just thinking of myself now. That's what usually happens with me. I may check 4 or 5 different places, but usually it's that first place that I left it at. And I'm looking all over the house, checking cars and everything else, and it's right there where I left it. In the first place. You've got to be able to retrace your steps. That's called repentance. They had to go all the way back where they left him. Now notice they had to go all the way back to Jerusalem. Now I'm pretty sure if they had phones and cell phones, they might have called around to some family. They may have called their personal law enforcement and said, my son Jesus is missing. Can you put out an Amber Alert? But no such thing as an Amber Alert back then. They had to go get him. And as they went to get him, I see that their hearts were probably broken, knowing who we see of Mary and Joseph. How in the world could I leave my own dear son? How in the world could I leave the Messiah, the son of virgin birth? How in the world, of all people, I'm pretty sure Mary was thinking this without getting into her mind or transgressing scripture. I'm pretty sure she's thinking the last person I would have left would have been Jesus. The last person we need to leave is Christ. But you got to retrace your steps. We must remember our first love. You know, the church of Ephesus was condemned for that in Revelation chapter 2, verse 5. He says, nevertheless, I have this against thee, that you left your first love. Is Christ your first love? Do you love him above any and everything else? If not, you need to question whether Jesus is riding with you. If not, if he's not your first love, then we're guilty of the sin of the church of Ephesus. They did a lot of good things. They hated those folks who taught it. They withstood those who taught false doctrine. But yet and still, their heart was not right. What is your first love? This is a personal examination. What is the first thing that you love? What is the thing that it would almost kill you to do without? If that's not Christ, you need to retrace your steps. If it's not your relationship with God, well, I can't do without this person. Well, guess what? Life happens. Death happens. It's coming. It's as sure as we're standing here. We don't want it. We don't want to deal with it. But if that was your first love, then it couldn't be Christ. What about us? They didn't notice it. Retrace your steps. Then you got to go back and get it right. We must go all the way back to Jerusalem to find it. The Lord's church began in Jerusalem, not these other places that men claim it was. If we find it in any other place, then it must not be his. We must return to Jerusalem to find out how God set up the church and set the parameters and conditions for soul salvation. Not what some man says when he tell you to ask Jesus to come into your heart, or say some sinner's prayer that's foreign to the Bible, or lay your hands on the radio and receive God and all the other things. My Bible says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. I don't know how you can explain that away. How you going to get rid of one or the other? And many folks say, he didn't mean that. Just ask Jesus to come into your heart. Well, how is he going to do that when you won't obey him? He can't. I wish I could tell you that, because I know a lot of folks in this condition, but I'd be telling them a lie. And I got to answer to Jesus for that too. Yeah. Then you must be willing, after you go back to Jerusalem, to look for him personally. He has to become your personal Savior. Christians must be connected to Christ in him only. And what I mean by that is, because when you're connected to the head, you connect to the body. You can't separate them. You don't need to be connected to me, elders, deacons, or anybody else but Christ. If your loyalty is to somebody else than Jesus, then Christ is probably not with you. We must be connected to the source. He wants a personal relationship with each and every one of us. He tells us this throughout his wonderful love letter, the Bible. John 15, verses 1 through 5 says we must be connected individually. He's the vine and we are the branches, individually. Which means that your spouse can be connected and you might not be. Your children can be connected. Your parents can be connected, but you might not be. Your friend could be connected, but you might not be. He's looking to do it for every person. Then he says, then you got to abide in me. And if you abide in me, I'll abide in you. Abiding means you don't just pop in and out of your life. Abiding means that you get up with him on your mind in the morning and you go to bed with him on your mind at night. No matter what the day throws at you. And I'm not saying that God doesn't expect us to be involved in other situations and other responsibilities in life. But at the end of the day, was Christ your first love? At the end of the week, was Christ your first love? He's got to be, because if not, you might have dropped him off back there somewhere. You didn't mean to, just like Mary and Joseph didn't, because some people say, well, I would never kick Jesus out intentionally. It doesn't happen intentionally, folks. It didn't happen intentionally to me. It don't happen intentionally to you, because you got a good heart. You want him there, but if you're not checking, you might have left him back there somewhere. If you get bothered by the noise of this world and you don't hear Jesus' voice anymore, you probably left him back there somewhere. The only way to get him is to go back personally. So we do that. He must abide in us. We must allow the word of God to dwell in us richly, according to Colossians 3:16. The consequences are so severe that it could cost us our very soul. Because when Christ comes back, if he's not in your life, there is no hope. There is no hope. And lastly, we must keep his commandments to please him. Keeping the commandment of Christ is proof that he abides in us and we abide in him. We must learn to obey and teach God's word and obey it continually. When this happens, then there won't be any problem loving each other as we ought to as well. If Christ abides in you, there is no way in the world you can have hatred in your heart for anybody else, not even your worst enemy. Verse 46 says this, and it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said, Son, why hast thou dealt this thus with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wish ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake to them. Now the first thing they did with Jesus is scold him. Boy, why you put us through this? I'm putting in the everyday term. Where you been? You knew you were supposed to have been there. Matter of fact, as soon as I get you out of this temple, I'm going to tan your hide. And their parents like us, parents like I had, because it was Christ's fault, you see. It wasn't Christ's fault. We do the same thing to Jesus sometimes, don't we? You know, in closing. You know, God, if I hadn't, or if you'd have been here, if God, you said you who you say you were, all kind of stuff we say, we have the audacity to chastise Jesus as well. And we don't understand he's about bigger business than this. He said, I'm not so much concerned about being lost. I got some other business to attend to. So matter of fact, you need to change your tone. Humble yourself. God didn't owe us anything but death. That's all he owes us. I'm so glad he didn't give it to us. But answer that question, because every now and then, about 2 or 3 times a year, I try to make sure I keep this right here and examine this, because about 70-75% of the time, I may have strayed a little bit, even in my best intention. Maybe in my prayer life. Maybe I wasn't praying to him like I should. You know, sometimes you get up, sometimes your feet are already hitting the floor before you even get started, before you even drink your first sip of coffee. Your mind is already in your work day. And before you know it, you left out Christ. Sometimes you get so tired, when you get home, you're so tired and worn out dealing with people, places, and circumstances, you got no time for Christ. Surely you ain't got time to read, because I don't want to read another drop, because I don't mean reading all day on my job. I don't want to read nothing about Jesus. Matter of fact, if you're like me, I fall asleep at the drop of a hat. So if I don't pray in my first 30 seconds, I might be asleep. Maybe y'all not like that. But I'll fall asleep in a heartbeat. I will. And maybe, just maybe, that other things in life crowd out the voice of Christ in your life. Maybe you thought he was with you. Maybe you're thinking he's with you right now. But the reality is you might have left him back there somewhere. If you've not obeyed that form of doctrine which is able to save your soul, please hear my plea. Turn back before it's too late. Turn to him. Turn to him. Why not? It's the best decision you'll ever make in your life. And maybe you're a Christian and you strayed away and Christ doesn't have the priority that he had in your life once before. Maybe you left him in Jerusalem. Maybe not intentionally, because life happens, problems happen, death happens. We deal with situations, people not getting along in your life and family, and it seems like it's one problem after another. And Satan does that sometimes to crowd Christ out of your life. Understand that it's enemy, attacking the enemy as well. But sometimes he'll surround you with so much junk, so much problem, so much pain, that's kind of hard for you to see Christ. And you don't realize that you've drifted away. And a lot of these problems and situations and circumstances to separate you from the one who loves you the most. It happens, I'm telling you. You don't have to do it intentionally. But the answer to all of these is to repent and return. We do that by hearing the gospel, believing what we have heard, repenting of our sins, confessing Jesus Christ as the Son of God, and being baptized for the remission of our sins, presenting Christ Jesus. From time to time, just like Mary and Joseph, we worship, but we leave him here. We worship, but he don't go to work with us on Monday. Sure don't hang out with us on Friday and Saturday night. We'll pick him up on Sunday morning. I'll meet him at the building on Sunday morning, but no, that's not how he wants to do it. He wants to dwell in us. And everything, understand this now, everything that you see and hear and do, Christ sees and hears and does. I don't know about you, but that scares me a little bit. Everything that I say, everything that I think, everything I do, I'm doing it, but Christ's looking at everything. Can't hide nothing. So if you have one desire or the other, put on Christ in baptism, request